Welcome to Oncology Data Advisor, where we explore the latest advances in cancer research and patient care. Thanks for listening to this episode. Be sure to visit oncdata.com for more content, including expert perspectives from leading oncology thought leaders, FDA approvals, patient advocacy, and much more. And don't forget to subscribe to Oncology Data Advisor on social media to stay up to date on the latest videos, podcasts, and more.
So I'm Matt Hatfield. I am a third-year medical oncology fellow at Brown University in the Legarreta Cancer Center in Providence, Rhode Island, and am currently in the process of transitioning into being a junior faculty member focused in early drug development and phase 1 clinical trials, as well as melanoma. And I'm talking today with Allison Rosen, who has the very unique and interesting perspective of being a cancer researcher who had this horrible experience of being diagnosed with colorectal cancer, and then is thankfully here to be sharing all you've done in terms of advocacy and work to promote cancer awareness and research. So please, Allison, if you could just introduce yourself.
Sure. Allison Rosen. I am a 12-year colorectal cancer survivor and very passionate advocate. I've worked in oncology for the past 17 years professionally. So my goal is to help bridge the gap between healthcare professionals and the communities that they serve, because I've served or worked and or volunteered on both sides of the fence. So I attend conferences and do advocacy as a survivor. And again, I appreciate everything that my healthcare providers did to save my life. So my purpose is to help educate, advocate, and collaborate with as many people as I possibly can.
No, it's so good to be able to speak with you today. And as I said before, thank you so much for what you do. I think patient advocacy is one of the most important things that we're now starting to integrate into the realm of cancer care and cancer research. It's something that we didn't spend enough time giving enough spotlight to in the past. And it's so good that you're here to talk about these things. I think, you know, to kick off Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, particularly important this year is, you know, the unfortunate trend of earlier onset colorectal cancer. You know, we have new guidelines with colorectal cancer screening in terms of colonoscopy being younger at age 45. Certainly a very, you know, concerning trend among myself and other physicians who take care of cancer patients. You know, what's your perspective been on that? And what are some of the conversations that have been had in the advocacy circles about what's been going on?
Obviously, we're really happy that the screening age was lowered to 45. If people like me had our way, screening would be available to anyone, but we know the research has to match the guideline. But the big thing with that is ensuring that the awareness is there. So it's been 50 for so long. And so now we have this huge, you know, 45 to 50 age, and we just want to spread awareness. So we're trying to tell our stories more, do more campaigns surrounding the age 45, and just make sure people know that they have access. They can get that screening. It is available to them, and there are options. I really think it's a similar message, but targeted at that 45 to 50 now, because we all know it as, you know, survivors and patients and advocates, and you know it as a professional. But you know, the average person that doesn't necessarily go to their doctor, but maybe once a year, might not know that now it's 45, and the research shows that it could save your life. And you know, I say this very openly, that a colonoscopy and a screening saved my life. And I think you need to have that before you actually have signs and symptoms, or, you know, it's potentially preventable. And that really is the message out there.
No, absolutely. It's so well stated. And I think even in the context, we're still getting past COVID, where so many cancer screening diagnostics were delayed for so long, and you know, it's another unfortunate trend that, you know, we're seeing this as well. You know, what are some of the other things that have been going on in regards to advocacy or big topics of discussion that you'd want to highlight going into Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month?
For me, I think it's there's two things. One is I'll be in Washington, D.C. next week with Fight Colorectal Cancer. And a lot of the policy that we're, you know, trying to advocate for is more research funding, because everything starts with research. I worked in research for 12 years. You have to start with the research. Then you get the new drugs or more drugs that are out there. Then you get, you know, more options for treatment. And so it's CDC funding, DOD funding, trying to make sure that we have the research, the funds, so that research could do their job. Because when I was treated, it was very standard of care, radiation, chemotherapy, surgery. And now there's so much out there as far as immunotherapy and targeted therapy, and ctDNA. I think a lot of what, we might not talk about that in DC, but we're really trying to push for this more research funding. And there's a lot more funding out there than there was even 5 years ago, so that we can make, if someone is diagnosed, their treatment more personalized versus here we're going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at you, which, again, if that's what is the best treatment, that's fine. But also, if you can, especially with the younger population, if you can give them, treatment that's specific for their tumor marker or their specific type of cancer or their stage, or where they are, you can increase quality of life. And that's huge because people are with the stat that colorectal cancer is now the number one leading cause of cancer-related death in men and number two in women under age 50. They're going to live longer and they're going to have a lot more, I say, survivorship issues. I deal with them daily, even 12 years later. And so I think policy-wise, more research, but then also make sure that research is focused on, targeted therapy, immunotherapy, treatment that could lessen the long-term side effects.
No, that's so well said, and you touched on so many important points. I think advocacy in DC is so important. I myself was just in DC advocating with AACR for increased NIH and NCI funding. And as someone who works in early phase trials, I can see that any FDA approved therapy really starts with NIH funded, university backed research, and really that's how we spark those innovations. But another really important thing that I don't think we've talked enough about in the past, but we've started to now, is the patient perspective in terms of their treatment, and how to get more targeted and how to get more limit toxicities. And I think in the context of how we're starting to just get away from maximum tolerated dose in phase one trials, and starting to see, can we achieve efficacy at lower doses? Can we tailor treatments better to optimize cancer patient experiences and minimize their symptom burden? And I think it's so important that we keep bringing those issues up. And the last thing I'd like to say that I'm so happy you brought up was circulating tumor DNA, because at GI ASCO just a couple months ago, there was two very, very interesting trials that showed that circulating tumor DNA really can be beneficial in predicting response or predicting need for adjuvant chemotherapy in resected colon cancer, which is, we're starting to finally get to the point where ctDNA is finding its place in how we use it in terms of risk of recurrence and stratifying patients, and one more step towards more personalized healthcare. So I think those are all just such important points to make.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is the first of the month right now. I have no idea when you're going to be listening to this, but no matter when you're listening to this, even if it isn't in March, no matter what, I think colorectal cancer is not, unfortunately, not going anywhere. And so we have to work together. The advocacy organizations, the survivors, the patients, the caregivers that are passionate about the cause, and you all that are doing the research and doing the treatment. If we all work together, I really do truly believe that we can lower the incidence and lower the mortality and make the conversation that isn't the most comfortable happen at the dinner table around family history, around the importance of screening, around, prevention and early detection. Because I do a lot of social media advocacy and I talk about a colonoscopy, I talk about, stool-based testing, I talk about all the different things, and people are like, I'm scared to have a colonoscopy. I don't want to do the prep. So like I've had, I don't know how many colonoscopies at this point, but so many. So I talk about the options. And I think just like with treatment, the screening options, there's a lot of options, especially a lot of prep options if colonoscopy is your screening of choice. So knowing those, you don't have to, do that 4 gallon, jug of liquid. There's pills, there's low volume preps, there's all sorts of things. So my message to people that are looking to want to get screened, should get screened, is to talk to their doctor, have a conversation, use, I say, shared decision making. That's a very technical term, but have decide together with, your doctor what's the best option for you as far as screening.
No, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up as well, because there is a lot of hesitation about colonoscopies, the prep, just what it looks like, side effects. A lot of patients think that it's going to take, days in the hospital, or it's almost like a surgery. So more ed education, but also just widening the scope of what is available. I mean, colonoscopy is not the only way we test for colorectal cancer. And, in my counseling of patients in the past, if they were vehemently against getting a colonoscopy, other testing is better than nothing. And I think that's a message that we need to keep, getting out there, because like you said so well, colorectal cancer is not going anywhere, unfortunately. And I think even though we've had such huge advancements with targeted therapy and immunotherapy, unfortunately we still have a long way to go, and there's still a high mortality rate in advanced disease. So lots more to figure out, unfortunately.
The like you said, the best test is the one that gets done. So whatever you can do, is what you should do.
No, absolutely. I guess with just the last few minutes that we have here, what's one thing that you're most hopeful about in the future of either the screening of colorectal cancer, the epidemiology, or the treatment, or any of the above?
I mean, I think the thing I'm most hopeful about as I attend scientific conferences and go to advocacy events is the change, the trajectory of the treatment. Like you mentioned earlier, it's changed so much over the past 10 years. And I know as we advance and have more research, then we can hopefully people are getting diagnosed if they are at earlier stages, and even if it's a later stage, there's better treatment for them so they can live longer and or they can survive this disease. Because at one point when you were stage four, it wasn't the best outcome. I love that the percentage of survival to increase no matter what stage you are.
Oh, well said. Well, it's been so nice talking to you today. I hope you have a great trip to DC, a safe trip, and a productive meeting with our representatives, and helping to reiterate that message that this, research funding and advocacy is so important. So thank you so much, and it's been so nice talking to you.
You too. Thank you.
Take care.